What's going on, everyone? Welcome to the Bronx Zoo, a podcast hosted by Yankees Post. Welcome to episode 3. It's been a little bit since we've last been on here. I'm joined along here with Sal and Joe. You guys can say hello.
What's going on?
So it's been a little bit since we've recorded a podcast, I think maybe like a month or two. And we kind of wanted to hop on here and kind of talk about the trade deadline that just went down. The Yankees just completed a sweep of the Marlins. They finally swept the team, I think, for the first time since the middle of June. So there's a lot of good things going on for the Yankees right now. Rizzo's killing it. He's becoming a Yankees favorite in 3 days. But we're all excited about how things are finally looking good for this team.
Yeah, Rizzo's obviously the most fun so far. Like I said before, I mean, easily becoming a fan favorite. It kind of means not much room for Voit, which is, a little upsetting, but maybe they slide him in at the DH if they want to play Stanton in the outfield.
Yeah, it's tough because they're clearly not going to play him. Most maybe like 3 days a week they put him in the outfield, but I doubt it.
Yeah, but I don't know. I feel like Stanton should just play the outfield every day because once Voit comes back and if he gets going, then he's dangerous and just it would suck to keep him out of the lineup.
Unfortunately, too. Yeah, go ahead.
I was honestly hoping that they would try and trade Voit before the 4 o'clock deadline after they made the
move. Yeah, I think they were trying to shop him.
Yeah, but
yeah, I don't know. I thought there was a chance. I didn't really think they would. I mean, maybe if they included Luke Voit into the Cubs trade, I feel like it would have been more than Rizzo. Yeah. They'd get back. When I saw it was just Anthony Rizzo, I figured that they probably didn't trade Luke Voit. And then I kind of got excited that maybe they were going to go all in on Brios or something like that with Luke Voit, which, could have definitely been possible. But, the Blue Jays made a pretty good offer. Luke Voit's going to be interesting. I mean, he might not even be able to stay healthy this year. And on top of that, too, who knows who else is going to get injured. Somebody's probably going to get injured in our everyday lineup, I'm going to say. I mean, we're probably not going to be fully healthy. So,
yeah.
But it'll be nice to be able to roll out a lineup. We'll have one of those games where we're going to be like, oh, this is the death lineup. We have Luke Voit at DH. Stan's going to be playing the field.
Mm-hmm.
And then, everyone else, hopefully, DJ and GR are right. But, either way, just having Gallo and Rizzo in the lineup now is huge.
Yeah, and also the lefty-right, they're both lefty, so it's a good lefty-righty combination in the lineup.
We're recording this on Sunday, August 1st, so the Yankees just swept the Marlins today and had a really great series. I think today, there are 5 lefty bats in the lineup.
Yeah.
Four or five. There was a lot of lefties in the lineup today, and it was good to see. I mean, the offense still isn't really clicking. I mean, we're really just, like I think Michael Kay was saying, they're just doing enough to kind of win games right now. The starting pitching is clearly carrying them. And with Montgomery, I think they're just allergic to scoring runs for whatever reason. Yeah.
It's like the Mets with DeGrom.
I think it's worse than the Mets with DeGrom. I mean, this stretch, definitely. I mean, the Mets and DeGrom, it's been like a couple of years where they haven't been giving him run support. But I think 6 of his last 7 starts or 6 of his last 8 starts, they've literally given him 0 runs. And then the other 2 starts was 1 run and 3 runs, which is not a lot.
I think there was a 5-start stretch in a row.
It was 5 in a row.
Yeah.
And then the next start, the 6th start after that in that streak, they scored 1 run. And he's pitching amazing. Montgomery, literally, I mean, just thinking, like, how crazy would it be if at the end of the month or the end of the year, like, Montgomery or Tyone had a better ERA than Cole, because Montgomery's ERA is kind of getting close to Cole's. Yeah. I think I'm not completely certain where Montgomery's
going into today. Going into today, Montgomery had a 3.73, and Cole had a 3.11, and so that 3.73 probably went down a little bit today.
Yeah.
I mean, Montgomery really. I mean, the way he's been pitching this season. I mean, it's pretty much all the same. He gets into a funk, or he gets into a jam at the start of the game. Maybe he'll give up a run or two and he pitches out of it. And then, you know, by like the sixth or seventh inning, you know, he's pitching great. And I feel like that's how most of his starts have been going.
I think Tyone's kind of been the same way too. A lot of his starts have been, you know, first inning struggles and then he settles in.
Yeah.
And next thing you know, he pitches through the sixth, allowing one or two runs.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I mean, I guess they were saying on the broadcast today, it's just, I guess, kind of finding your stuff. Because for Montgomery, that curveball was definitely working in like the fourth, fifth, and sixth a lot better than it was at the start of the game. So, I mean, it's working. It sucks to kind of be put into an early hole. You know, but he's been pitching amazing, so you can't really complain about much.
Yeah. Also, like, all these games are just nail biters. Everyone, Britton's giving us the hardest. Gave us another, like, oh no, he's gonna give it up, but he got that great double play from Rizzo.
Yeah. Every time Britton comes in now, it's like hold your breath because he's pretty much guaranteed to walk someone when he comes in every time. It's crazy, but he gets the ground ball, so I mean, it works.
Yeah, on the brighter side, Chapman is kind of looking more like himself. He did the stare down today for the first time, and who knows how long. And it was on the second out too, so that was kind of cool. But Chapman's looking more like himself. So as someone else is, you know, making us hold our breath, at least Chapman's kind of back in the swing of things.
Yeah.
I feel like we're just kind of starting to get a little bit luckier. I mean, I feel like our first half of the season, they didn't play well, but we definitely weren't like a lucky team.
Yeah.
You know, just horrible luck. And I mean, most teams, I mean, win games where they have like a 99.9% chance of winning in the eighth or ninth. The Yankees have blown like four of those games this year, which is insane. I don't even know what the chances of that happening are without complete, you know, meltdowns of the bullpen. But I mean, I don't know. I won't put too much into it because the Marlins are a horrible offensive baseball team and just a bad team in general.
Their pitching's pretty good, though.
Yeah, they pitched pretty well against the Red Sox. They blew two of those games in late innings. And against the Rays too, besides the 14-0 game. It was a good series besides that game.
Yeah, hopefully Cole bounces back and doesn't do that again.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I'm not necessarily like people are saying they're like worried about Cole. I don't know what you guys think, but like,
I think he just struggles against
– when it matters, he's going to pitch well.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
And he's just been struggling against, like, the Rays and Red Sox specifically. Like, he can't get them out.
That's just in general the Yankees for the last couple of years. Can't beat those teams.
Yeah.
Especially the Rays. The Red Sox, they had a good stretch where they were beating them, but against Alex Cora now.
And we finally came out of the trough with their winning record for the year.
Yeah. Yeah, they did. That's big for them because they had maybe like a 300 winning percentage there for the past couple of years. So, I'm not mad. I think the 14-0 loss definitely put a bad taste in our mouth about this series. But, as long as you win the series, I mean, if they could keep winning series, they have an easy series against the Orioles and a really nice stretch of games, Mariners, Royals. I mean, and then I think they go back to either – Boston or Tampa or something like that. But I don't know. They should be able to win a lot of games coming up.
Yeah. And I also think the East is still in play for us. I mean, I know it's 6.5.
No, they're only five back in the loss column.
Yeah. So, like, when we play Boston, if the games back are, like, maybe let's say five or four.
I think by the time we play Boston, we're only going to be, like, two or three games back in the loss column. I think let me look at our upcoming schedule, but
we played Boston I think like September 17th.
Nope, August 17th. And it's a technically 2-day series. So I'll just give a brief schedule preview here. So they've got the Orioles at home for three games, and then they got the Mariners at home for four games. So that's a stretch right there where you should hopefully win. You go 5-2 at least, honestly. I mean, they've crushed Mariners pitching this year, I think. In that three-game series, that's the most amount of runs they've scored in a series when they played the Mariners last time. And then Orioles, they should take care of. Then after that, they have the Royals for three games. And then I think this is like a pretty big stretch for the Yankees.
Yeah.
Starting on August 12th, they have the Field of Dreams game, which is going to be awesome.
Yeah.
So they start playing the White Sox. Oh, so that is pretty interesting. So they play, they don't have an off day until August 13th.
Wow.
So they play all straight games leading into the Field of Dreams game. So, and then after that, they have a day off, and then they finish the series with two games against the White Sox. And then after that, they have that makeup game against the Angels. And then they play the Red Sox for three games. So I think that stretch right there is going to be really big. Because even the White Sox, if they put on a good run, you could be chasing the White Sox too, for whatever seeding, or, you know, you're going to want to win games. And I think they swept the White Sox last time, right?
Yeah, they swept them at home. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, Lance Lynn's having an amazing season over there. So
yeah.
They're a scary team in the AL.
For sure.
But yeah, so yeah, I mean, just everything in general right now until we have one of those heartbreaking losses, which is definitely probably going to happen soon. I think the vibes in general are good with this team.
Yeah,
you go ahead.
I feel like the Rizzo trade really just for the locker room and just the feel around the clubhouse, I feel like it changed the team almost pretty much. Because he's a great locker room guy. And,
yeah. Yeah, I was gonna say the same type of thing. I mean, you know, you get to the trade deadline and it's a team that's struggling, but at the same time still floating a little bit above 500 and still in the wild card race. And, you know, you get a few new faces in there with Rizzo and Gallo, even Andrew Heaney. Now he's starting tomorrow. And it's like, I mean, you know, you got new guys in there, new guys in the clubhouse, and we knew something needed to change. And if that's some new guys there, even though Gallo hasn't done much yet, it's only been one series. Rizzo's been a huge spark. I think that's just what you need. Sal, like you said before, we're not out of the division yet. I mean, there's still 2 months left and we're six and a half out. So.
Yeah. Yeah. I've seen the Red Sox. I mean, just the Red Sox and I don't know about the Rays, but I know the Red Sox, they've blown bigger division leads. And the Yankees, it's not like they're underdogs. They should be winning the division.
Yeah. The Red Sox are kind of on a slider now, I think.
Yeah, besides their series win against the Yankees, they haven't won a series in a good amount of time.
Mm-hmm. So, we just have to keep on winning and hope the Rays and Red Sox keep on losing.
Yeah, I'm going to check on that game, see what the score is. That game is insane, right? Yeah, Rays are up 2-0. Regardless, I mean, I think the Red Sox have a stretch too here where they're kind of just – playing, I think they play the Blue Jays again and then they play the Rays again. Let's see, they have Tigers, then Blue Jays, then Rays. So those are all games where, you know, you're going to be gaining ground on somebody. And when you're chasing two teams, I mean, whether it be the wild card spot or the division, you know, those are when you see the Rays and Red Sox playing against each other, you have to win the games that you're playing. Because they clearly can't do it head to head against the Red Sox, at least.
Yeah. I just feel like, what did you guys think about the Rizzo trade when it went down? Like, were you shocked or were you just
honestly, right away, I wasn't as happy about it as I am now. You know, I saw it and I was like, okay, we gave away, you know, these mid range prospects, but knowing that Rizzo is potentially just a rental and Voit about to come back, kind of questioned it a little bit, with the only positive being, you know, oh, he's a lefty bat and he's got better defense than Voit. Yeah. But, you know, just within this series, you see not only from the player he is, but his personality too. Like, he just brings that spark to the team that we kind of needed. So as of now, I like it. Could always change, but.
Yeah, I mean, he's already gotten himself like a 2-week pass of slumping almost. You know what I mean? You can make the argument that he won all three of those games for us against the Marlins. Mm-hmm. I mean, every hit was big for us.
Oh, yeah.
And even some nice defensive play.
Insane.
Yeah, I know. You know, Rizzo is one of those players where, you know he's batting when you kind of look up there, because he gets so close in the box. Yeah. It's kind of crazy. Yeah. It feels like he's going to get hit every time.
Yeah. He actually got hit on the hand. Thankfully.
Yeah, that was scary when he got hit on the hand right away, second game.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
I would just, like, go to the locker room after that. Like, I wouldn't be able to stand that, but I guess he was all right. So,
yeah. Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of just, I mean, hit by pitches are part of the game, but I don't know. I feel like we kind of get them bad sometimes. I mean, we've had players hit the IL so many different times.
Did just you see that, getting hit by pitch? When Blyer hit Judge.
When Judge got hit, that was horrible.
Judge stared at him. Judge doesn't do that very often either. So,
mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I know. Yeah, that's the clip on TikTok that we posted that blew up. Mm-hmm. Just because Judge is one of the most, I guess, nicest players in the league.
And,
you know,
I feel like we should have got Blyer or another bullpen arm.
Yeah, I agree with the bullpen thing. When I was just talking a little bit earlier about, you know, maybe trading Voit at the deadline, I was kind of hoping, you know, you include Voit in the Rizzo trade and a couple extra prospects, and you get Kimbrel also, you know.
That's what I was saying. Yeah. When I saw it was just Rizzo, there's no way Voit was getting traded straight up for Rizzo. That'd be stupid.
But maybe you throw him in and try and go after Kimbrel. Because I think we got Rizzo before they traded Kimbrel to the White Sox.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, it was before the Kimbrel deal happened last second, I think.
Yeah. So, I mean, that would have been nice. An extra bullpen arm definitely would have been good considering the struggles of late. I think like the last 2 weeks, the bullpen ERA is above 7 or something crazy. I think they held it down for the most part.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you can't let the Marlins score. Yeah, who knows? I mean, our bullpen, like, it makes no sense at all. Coming this season, our two strongest things, definitely offense and bullpen. And it's been the complete opposite. You know, our defense was definitely one of like our weaker points, and we know that. But I don't know. I feel like our defense has been a lot better. The start of the season, like the first month and a half, like our defense was like, you notice it every single game. It was so bad. But I don't know. I feel like they definitely cleaned it up a little bit. And then Gallo and Rizzo are going to help with that too.
Yeah, Rizzo is a huge help.
Yeah, because first base is just it's not Luke Voit's fault that he's been injured, but our first base production this year would be that Jay Bruce, Mike Ford, Luke Voit injured.
I forget about Jay Bruce at this point. I think Michael Kay said today that Rizzo since 2015 has the most scoops among any other first baseman in the league. So big time when you got Torres at short, who's not the greatest defensively from that point.
When he was clearly on the base.
Off the bag.
Chisholm? Rizzo at first base. I don't know.
And then they stuck with the replay for like 2 minutes. Like, it was easy.
That's why I don't get why umpires don't get, like, you should like lose a game or something, a game of pay for something like that. I don't know. Umpires are just
really bad.
I feel like it's just weird. They don't get punished for anything.
I couldn't believe that with the Chisholm stolen base, I couldn't believe they kept it as an out.
That one, I think that one was definitely like
close. I guess maybe his hand came off for like a split second, but I don't even know if the glove was on him.
I feel like if the call on the field was safe, then he would.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I feel like it just had to, it was so close, you know, the call on the field, they just went with it.
Mm-hmm. Same with the Rizzo play at third base when Rizzo slid into third.
Yeah, this series, I feel like
probably a tie, but too close to change. So,
yeah. Yeah, this series in general, like, how many replay reviews were there? I feel like there's a lot. The Glaber tag, I think they reviewed. Mm-hmm. There's a lot. Where Glaber tagged.
It was scary. I'm like, oh no, please don't blow this game.
Speaking of Glaber, I think it was kind of good to see him get thrown out for the first time ever yesterday off the bad strike three call. And it definitely went outside. He had reason to argue, but it was good to see him get thrown out because you want to see the fire in your players. The only thing I was disappointed to see is Boone not coming out there and defending his guys, which he hasn't done as much this year as he has in the past.
Well, I mean, for Glaber, he kind of drawed back a little bit, but he didn't like do like full Joe Girardi rant. Yeah,
but still, just to expressing his concern, it was good to see.
Well, I think, and Boone said this, I think Boone was mad at the fact that they had to take LeMahieu off the bench because of that. Because LeMahieu and Urshela, did they play every single game in this series?
Urshela did not play today.
DJ's come off the bench in every game. Mm-hmm. So I think DJ's all right. I mean, Urshela, like, I don't think he's like a player that's injured all of the time, but I feel like he always has these small stints every single year we've had him so far. He's never had like a long-term injury, but I don't know.
He's been having this like hamstring problem all year, so.
Yeah, I feel like for him, like day to day is like we've heard that a lot with Urshela, which is good. I mean, there's nothing long term, but no, I feel like he's like the day to day champion.
Yeah.
Also, just to note something, our minor league teams are doing great this year.
They're some of the best teams in all of their respective leagues.
Yeah,
and at some points we refuse to call up anybody. We don't want to play Florio. Or Allen.
What's your guys' take on the, Gardner starting today instead of Allen or Florio? What do you
think? It should have been Florio starting today. I don't know.
Yeah.
I understand Allen. He got banged up.
I can't believe Cashman said, like, we're committed to Gardner.
I don't hate it just for the fact that he's the vet, but at the same time, you could still be a good veteran off the bench. He doesn't have to be in the judging Gallo,
Yeah.
I feel like right now, if they don't want to call up Florio, then Allen should be, the starting center fielder.
Yeah.
And it could be.
Could definitely call up Florio.
Yeah. Yeah, they called him up to not even play him. I don't understand that.
Yeah. I love, we all love Gardy. We're always going to love Gardy. He's the last guy from the 2009 team.
Mm-hmm.
But you gotta know when, it's their expiration date. They're kind of done.
And yeah, you gotta hang.
I think.
I mean, he could still be good off the bench. I'm not against that. His
speed is good.
But he shouldn't be starting.
Like, I think on a game like today, for example, maybe he's not starting, but he comes in to pinch hit for the speed or pinch run at some
point. Yeah, yeah, definitely. For sure.
It's his time's kind of done, and I think it's been done for a little bit now.
Yeah.
Yep.
Also, did you see the Nestor Cortez run?
That was hilarious.
Yeah. I'd love to see that. At the same time, pitchers probably shouldn't be in that position.
But. Yeah, but just wacky NL rules just, I guess, made that happen.
Yeah, it's just, I don't know. It's probably because I like the Yankees. I mean, most people think this. It's just an ugly form of baseball, having it kind of play like that.
It is. I feel so weird seeing, for example, today, seeing Montgomery go up there with the bat, and I was
He almost walked. I thought he was gonna walk.
Yeah.
If he didn't swing, he swung at ball four too.
He could have went further in the game too if it wasn't for him getting have to being replaced for.
Yeah, he would have probably started the next inning at least.
Yeah,
for sure.
Yeah, just NL rules are stupid.
Mm-hmm.
I think that'll change though after the season with the CBA.
Well, they said they're getting rid of the doubleheader, seven innings, and they're getting rid of the extra innings rule, which are like that should have only been a thing for last season. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
It maybe shouldn't even have been a thing for like maybe the seven inning doubleheaders, but the extra innings is it's a horrible rule.
Yeah. So bad. Speeding up the game, I get it, but it changes the game, and I'm surprised that teams aren't just bunting and then going for the sack fly.
Yeah.
Everyone's still trying to swing the bat, and you see a lot of still scoreless extra innings, and it makes no sense.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but there's just no more you don't see a game go over the 12th.
Yeah, we have. I don't think there's been a single one over 12 since
the Yankees, definitely not. I think 11th inning was the most that one game against the Nationals, I think.
And we're not built for it. I mean, some teams aren't built to start that way. And I know that
we're not built for runners in scoring position.
Oh, if you do it, then change the strategy. But, we can't hit with guys in scoring position. We suck in extra innings.
Yeah. Yeah. I think they have a losing record. I don't think we need to look that up. They definitely do. Because I don't remember any of those games being fun.
No, I mean, I miss those 15 inning Red Sox Yankee games.
I remember the A-Rod one. I forgot, maybe went to the 15th or 16th where A-Rod hit a two-run homer and we won 2-0, walked it off back in, like, 2011 or 12. Yeah. Like, those games were so fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, I feel like, you know, the extra inning games, I mean, there's a little more activity with the runner on base, and you're not going to, like, look away from your TV because, you know, the second extra inning starts, you know, you have a runner on second, you have the opportunity for your team to score or for the opposing team to score. So, you know, it's baseball. That's, I guess, it's entertaining. But I think at some point it's just kind of like repetitive, and it's just not good for the game because you know a run's probably going to score this inning.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really going to come down to whatever team just fails with the runners in scoring position, or that if they miss a bunt. It has nothing to do with, like, the pitching. It has nothing to do with, you know, players coming up clutch and, you know,
almost putting together an actual run. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, if you really think about it, you could have a pitcher go up there and bunt in the run, and, you know, someone comes up next and hits a sac fly, and, you know, maybe that's a walk off for your team. So it, I know we had one walk off this year where it was a walk off sac fly because we had the runner on second. Like, it's cool and all, but it doesn't feel like a walk-off. Like, none of these walk-offs, like, feel great unless they're happening in the bottom of the ninth inning.
Mm-hmm.
Agreed.
What do you think about Joey Gallo and sticking with number 13?
I'm surprised.
I like it.
I don't think that A-Rod should, you know, get that number retired, or it should be kept, you know.
Yeah,
I think it's, you know, it's been a little while since A-Rod was playing for us, and it's not like, you know, right away they give it to somebody else. It's been a while, and, you know, they let Gallo stick with 13, and I'm totally cool with it.
Yeah, I mean, I heard Dan Roark wasn't a fan because A-Rod might get retired in the Monument Park, but I don't know.
I don't think he's going to. I mean, even with all the accomplishments. You know,
I just I mean, he sued the Yankees. Steroids. Like, I don't think they're gonna do that.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, I guess people were just, like, afraid. I don't know. Tomorrow's gonna be interesting. With Heaney pitching.
Yeah, I'm excited.
I think. I mean, I don't know too much about him. I'm not gonna lie. I mean, I know.
I heard his advanced stats were pretty good.
Yeah, like he's been pitching.
His expected ERA.
Yeah,
his expected ERA, I think, was a lot lower than his actual ERA, which I think is, what, 5.7 or something like that.
Yeah, his ERA is not good, but, you know, he's pitching a lot better than his stats show. And, you know, he's a lefty. He can go out there and shove. So, hopefully it's what he does.
Yeah, he could be like a Lance Lynn type player when we got him.
Yeah, maybe not to the same level, but, you know, still, you know, that exceeded.
Yeah, I mean, even Lance Lynn. If you look at Lance Lynn, I mean, he's probably two times better than he was when he had that little stint with the Yankees. Like, if you take away his stint with the Yankees, like, his numbers are so good. Honestly. Yeah,
he was actually really bad with us. He's one of those guys that couldn't perform with us. It was like him, Sonny.
He wasn't bad. I don't think he was horrible. I remember he had one start. I think maybe he threw a complete game. I don't know if I'm remembering this correctly, but I remember he had one really dominant start with the Yankees. Maybe he went like 8 innings or something like that with 0 runs. But outside of that, yeah, I think, you know, he got rocked a decent, and maybe his ERA with the Yankees, I think, was like a little bit over 4. So, he's pitching to like a 2 ERA this year.
I think he's under AL, 2. So. Yeah, he's crazy right now.
Yeah, he could be under 2 now because I think he was hovering around.
He could win the Cy Young.
I think he's the front runner right now.
I feel like Cole last start kind of.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, Cole's last start took
him right now, and, you know, he's not looking like the Cy Young guy, but it's fine.
Yeah,
I think right now Lynn has it. If
he should have won when he got robbed by Verlander that one year. I think it was.
Yeah. Yep. I agree. 2019. Yeah.
19.
Yeah.
His last year with the Astros.
300 strikeouts. Yeah.
Yeah, he had 300 strikeouts. I think like maybe 2.6 ERA, and Verlander maybe had a little bit better ERA, but. The strikeouts, I mean, come on.
Yeah, and the whip was better for Cole, too, I think. Well, you know, you see a lot of people get robbed. There was Cole, and then, you know, you look back, and Judge was robbed in 2017. And at the time, no one thought he was robbed for some reason because Altuve's average was so good, even though Judge's on-base percentage was higher and everything else was higher.
But, well, I mean, yeah, I feel like people are getting into the advanced stats more than they have been in 2017.
Yeah. Wait, even 10 years ago, some of these advanced stats, if you were, you know, say you're with your friends arguing about which player is better, player A or player B, and you get into advanced stats, if you started mentioning some of these, you know, like OPS plus or, you know, fielding war, like if you start defensive run save, if you started mentioning these like 10 years ago, you'd just be laughed at. Like no one cared about that. It's like, what's your average? What's your, how many home runs you got? You know, how many RBIs, you know, fielding percentage and stuff like that. And, you know, stats have evolved so much and kind of seamlessly too, like under the radar.
Yeah. Yeah. Like LeMahieu, I mean, not only is like a guy like DJ LeMahieu, like last season and the season before, super high average, you know, definitely not a lot of power. And, you know, this year is kind of showing that. I mean, I wouldn't say LeMahieu's doing terrible this year, but
he's not like what his
OPS is down.
Yeah.
I mean, he's a player when he's hitting 330, he still has like, you know, a little bit above average OPS. So now that his average is like a little bit lower, you know, those kind of stats are kind of coming out. You know, he's good for maybe a few singles, but obviously, you know, like the extra base hits and the home runs, those are the stats that, yeah, you know, matter a lot more.
He's there to drive in a guy from second base, slap a ball to right field.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. It's good to have someone. I mean, I have nothing wrong with LeMahieu this year, honestly, besides, you know, maybe a lot of ground outs.
Yeah.
But I mean, I think he's been consistently, you know, good this year. You know, if you look at other players, there's a lot more people to pick on. There's a few different people on this team. And I think those people are LeMahieu, Judge, Urshela. That honestly might be it in terms of just consistency this year. And like, even like if you're consistently like a 250 hitter, I mean, Urshela bats like, I think he bats like 270 this year, but, you know, he's just consistent. And that's what I'd like more than someone like Stan, who has probably better numbers than Urshela this year, a little bit lower average. But it just sucks seeing people go on these hot and cold streaks, and it's very annoying.
It's frustrating.
It's the constant double plays with Stanton, you know, killing the rallies. I mean, and like you were just saying that, you know, if you're a 250 hitter consistent, go over across the city and look at Pete Alonso. I mean, he literally hits like 240, 250, but it almost just seems like he's getting the job done and gets the big hits because he's consistent. He's not going on these crazy, terrible slumps for 3 weeks at a time. And I don't know if that's just something with the players we have or if it's the coaching, but something needed to change. And that's, again, where you go to the trade deadline. You know, Rizzo might be that breath of fresh air.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, we haven't even seen Gallo perform either. So,
yeah.
I mean, he didn't get his first hit today, so.
Yeah.
He was coming into a slide when.
Yeah, I didn't even realize that either, that he was in a pretty big slump.
He was like two for his last 26 or something.
Yeah, I think maybe he's due then to break out in this big stretch we have where we're playing not-so-great teams. Gallo can break out and, you know, become what we would hope he'd be.
But I feel like the players we gave back to Texas for Gallo weren't, like, all that, like, I wasn't, like, mad about it.
No. No, there's a few people, Dominguez, Medina, Volpe, those players, I think I would be mad if we traded them, but outside Volpe of that.
We should be, like, untouchable almost. He's been so good.
And there's the other shortstop too, Peraza, I think.
Oh, Peraza, yeah.
Yeah.
Him and Volpe are like, you know, they can't.
Yeah.
At least
right. I'll take a player like Rizzo over two people who probably, I mean, I hate to say it, but probably won't even come close to Rizzo.
Yeah.
Even like it's just you can't prospect hug. I don't agree with that.
And
that's did we trade one top? We didn't trade one top 10 guy for anybody.
I think we might have traded number 9 in the Gallo deal, but I could be wrong.
No, the Gallo deal was our 13 and 15th.
I think it was the Haney deal.
Yeah, I'm not sure, but. Either way,
at least a couple top 25, but that's not even that big of a deal for the guys we got.
Yeah.
No, Our farm's decent. I mean, it's not the best, but
yeah.
We have good prospects, but we just don't do a good job at developing them.
Yeah.
Like, look at Garcia. Have you looked at his stats this year in minor leagues? God. He has like a 7.7 ERA.
He was just, I think he gave up like a lot, like four or five runs, you know?
Yeah, he pitched like one inning and gave up 6 earned runs, 7 runs or something like that.
He fell off a cliff.
Definitely.
I don't know. It sucks. I don't know what they're going to do with
him. I mean, I liked Debbie, I mean, last year, but
maybe he is maybe he finishes off this year strong. There's only 1 month left in the minor league season, I think. So maybe he finishes strong and, you know,
yep.
I'm sure he'll get invited to spring training next year and maybe he shows up.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it just sucks. Like seven yeah, plus.
That's actually areas. Really bad. I didn't realize it was that bad.
It's like very bad.
Yeah.
But what are you going to do? You know, you're going to have more players that come in and out of the organization. Obviously, every single person can't pan out. But
I think we're about to sign like the number one international prospect or something. I don't know.
I haven't heard about that.
The Yankees? Yeah, I didn't hear anything about that. But
he might not be number one, but he's up there. So.
I mean, that's kind of what it was like when we were signing Dominguez. He was like a top international prospect. And we signed him, I think, when he was like 15 or something crazy.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, they like their international signing money. I know that. Mm-hmm. So.
And but, one, like, thing, like, you know, so USA is playing in the Olympics and tomorrow they face Japan.
Tanaka's pitching. Yeah.
That's very cool. I low key like I kind of want Tanaka to just throw lights out. Like I don't care if he's
playing. Yeah, I want to see. I think that USA team is kind of. Yeah, I don't know.
Well, I mean Tanaka's their best pitchers.
Yeah. Like, well, every country is missing their best guys. Like, no one in the MLB is going to play. So.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, I don't see why Tanaka shouldn't do at least solid against these guys. I mean, it's not even like – it's barely not even like a major league team, honestly.
Well, he'll be pitching against
Tyler. Major league players, but
–
He's got two former team – he's going to be pitching against two former teammates because USA has got Tyler Austin and Todd Frazier.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, that's going to be cool. I'm going to try to watch that, but – I'm guessing, what is that?
I think it's like 6 a.m.
6 a.m., yeah. I'll probably be sleeping. Yeah, I'll watch the highlights.
Or when you wake up.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that covers everything we kind of want to talk about. You know, we're definitely going to be doing a lot more podcasts as, you know, the playoffs come up. And a lot of these games are going to get more interesting and, you know, you're going to – want to talk about more things. You know, the trade deadline was definitely a big thing that we all kind of wanted to talk about. And, you know, I think so far after 3 games, the trade deadline has been awesome. We're 3-0 in the new look Yankees era. And big stretch of games coming up against, you know, Orioles, Mariners, Royals. You know, these are games that the Yankees have to win and they should hopefully come out with a, you know, bunch of series wins.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can see him sweeping the Orioles, but who knows? Yeah, but other than that, yeah, I appreciate anyone who's still listening now. I appreciate you guys for tuning in. I don't know if you guys want to plug any of your social medias, but for Yankees Posts, you know, you can follow us on TikTok at Yankees Posts. YouTube is just Yankees Posts, and then Instagram is Yankees_posts, and then Twitter is just at Yankees Posts. So. It's pretty straightforward. We got a website too, yankeespost.com. So, you know, we keep everything on brand, I guess, with the social media tags. But, I appreciate everyone for listening. And, we'll talk to you guys soon.